Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here speaking of the arts, and Chrissy Orr is going to be stopping by and talking about the migrant project that she has been doing at the Santa Fe Art Institute. Right now, I would like to welcome Bill Hutchison. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and our monthly animal segment has haltingly moved from Wednesdays to Fridays, the first Friday of the month now, trying to establish that. But
and I think we even skipped the last month,
I think
didn't
we skipped, yeah. We've been stumbling
we're
toward
a little
Fridays.
Haphazard.
I know.
I think we're going to lock it
Imagine
in
that. People who are so organized as you and I.
We can now, you know, there's I think there's room for change in the way we do the animal segment. We can lock it in and you can work hard and I can work hard. And
change that we can be proud of.
Yes, we can.
Change that we can believe in.
Absolutely.
Animals.
Animals. Yeah, so one of the things that you and I have been talking about this week, not on the radio, is how the... And it's interesting now, I think, also, just over the last few, obviously after the election, to recontextualize all this, but talking about how the economic downturn is affecting people with companion animals. And that there
you mean
are
pets?
Pets. That's the shorthand for it. I think it's an acronym for something, but I can't remember what. That people face these realities that make them sort of face money realities, that make them prioritize, or you see sort of priorities emerge from the way they behave with their animals. And at the shelter, this is what started our conversation. We've seen a relatively dramatic increase in the number of owner surrenders, about a 15% increase, which doesn't
so that
sound
means
like a
owners
lot.
Owners of pets
steady.
Coming in and saying, I can't take care of Fluffy anymore.
Absolutely, absolutely. And anecdotally, what we're hearing from people is that a lot of it is the economic concern. And there's two sides to this, right? I mean, there's one side that says, that's exactly right. Like, if you cannot take care of your animal for whatever reason, for economic hardship or anything else, then what you want to do is take it to an animal shelter where they can give it food, keep it warm, give it a place to sleep, etc. But I also think that it's a moment for us to ask ourselves some really important questions about our priorities. I think that we can often get into a position where we believe we can't take care of our animal anymore because it just costs too much. But we also sit and lament about this fact in front of the television with the Dish Network.
The cable for $50 a month.
Exactly. So things like that are very real. If you really put it to yourself, what's more important, cable television or my pet? Or what was your little quip about
it? Which is more entertaining?
Horatio or The Daily Show?
That's right.
I think that's what you said.
That's a tough call. Honestly.
It's a tough call, but you're probably more likely to have a more intimate relationship with Horatio than Jon Stewart. I mean, I'm not saying I don't know what you do behind closed doors.
And
but
I'm not saying.
But that's it's a real thing that people are facing, and I think that...
The thing is, you know, as Ulla Peterson has said many times, and she, with the Kindred Spirits Animal Shelter down on
mind.
Route 14, the animals that we have in our families are family members, and mm-hmm. to think of them that way puts it in a different light than if you think of them as, a second car or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Ulla, it's great to call her up because I think one of the main messages that's come out of Kindred Spirits over the years is that we live in what is too often a throwaway society, and the animals are not necessarily I don't know why I'd couch it like that, but the animals are not a financial burden that we can divest ourselves of. To view it like that is to really dehumanize yourself because you take away the right to that animal's being, and that can be a hard thing to do. Now it's very different to be responsible and take it to a shelter and let them try and find a home for it when that's really what has to happen. But if it is solely because it's an unpleasant burden, not an impossible one, but not a great one. I think that's our responsibility. That's the contract we make with them.
You know, I think there's another issue here, too, which is one is the question of food, and we can talk about that in a moment. It costs money to feed your animals, and it costs money to get them their shots and things like that, although mostly that's a one-time deal. You should get your rabies shot every 3 years and so on. But if your pet has chronic health problems, it becomes very expensive.
Oh,
and the
man,
reason I have
so
Horatio
expensive.
Is because the previous owners could not afford to fix a dachshund back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's the weird call in all this, right?
I mean, heck, I can barely afford to fix a dachshund back.
I just had to take my Great Dane into my very excellent vet this week, and it was pricey. You know, it knocks you in the face all of a sudden. You got to drop this chunk of change. Even when it's cheap, it's not cheap. And that's why it's really hard to get it all in your head at one time sometimes, because we want it to be just one thing. Like, okay, if you just commit to it, you can keep your animals forever. Well, that's not really exactly the truth. Sometimes it is too expensive for you to bear. But there are, and I don't know what to say about that. I think it's just a hard reality of living in a world that is not perfectly suited necessarily to us moving through it without any incident. You can do small things. I mean, we can put a few bucks aside every month in a way that doesn't hurt into a savings account for our animals, for their medical expenses. But yeah, I mean, it's going to hurt sometimes. And actually, I wanted to make sure you talked about this. What is your food, your cost saving measure with buying food?
Well, I mean, there's two things before the food thing. One is, if you have small dogs, they cost less to feed than big dogs. And if you have mutts, they're not going to have a lot of the problems that purebreds have, health problems from being overbred.
Much of the time, that's going to be absolutely the case.
And for me, I've got three dogs who, if you put them together, weigh less than your big dog. And I make them, and this is something that the veterinarian recommended, because my dog, my little terrier Honey, was really obese several years ago. And I said, you know, what should I do? And they said, feed her a precise amount of dog food a day and measure it. So I started measuring the food, and it's half wet food and half dry food. And the wet food I make, which is the cheapest hamburger that they have at Smith's. I call it tubular hamburger. I think that comes in that big tube. And you mix it a 5-pound tube to 1 pound of brown rice, and you get the cheapest brown rice. And then you just bag it. You cook it, measure it, bag it, put it in the freezer, and each day among the three dogs, they get one bag.
Yeah.
Two bags.
We have gotten used to things being really easy, and I think that has not been to our benefit. When times do get too hard, and I know I keep saying this, but I think it bears repeating, that if times do get too hard and you can't do it, bring your animal to shelter. That's 100% okay. But it's also 100% okay to have to struggle and do extra and work harder to keep your family members, whether they're four-legged or two-legged, happy and healthy and in your home, which is where they would much prefer to be, over the shelter.
There's another dimension to this, which is spay-neuter costs. There are many programs now. Bridget Lindquist from the Española Animal Shelter was here recently talking about some free spay-neuter programs that they have at the Española Animal Shelter. There's low-cost spay-neuter programs provided by the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. And for those who can afford to donate to those organizations, that's how they provide those. They don't just come out of the kindness of Bill Hutchison's or Bridget Lindquist's heart.
Yeah, and you know, that's I think that's something that all of us in animal welfare are a little bit worried with the economic downturn. Certainly everyone in the nonprofit world. But it gets really easy when things are inconvenient, as they are right now, and difficult and expensive and hard, and everybody's stressed and frightened, to imagine that somebody else, well, I can't really do it right now, but somebody else will pick up my slack.
Well, that's what we talk about during the KSFR fun drive twice a year.
Absolutely. And this is sort of exactly what happened with what caused our giant economic recession, this giant economic crash, is that there would always be somebody else to pick up the slack, to make sure that the whole contraption didn't come crashing in on itself. And guess what? Like, in Santa Fe, if you're giving to any shelter or any animal organization, that's it. You're the person that's doing that. There is no other person that will suddenly appear, and if they do, then those people are desperately needed in empty slots already. I mean, everybody's feeling the hit and the pinch, and it's intense. It's intense. I'm sitting here talking about this and kind of freaking myself out a little bit.
We're talking to Bill Hutchison from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and the reality is a reality about security is what it ultimately comes to. And that's a word that people throw around, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And we are living in what appear to be deeply uncertain and insecure times. And what do we do? You know, do we react through fear? Do we act through kicking family members out with maybe our animals or somebody else? It is a moment to, at the very least, talk about these things with each other. And when you talk about these things, like what to do about your expensive pets, with each other, possibilities emerge that you didn't even think about.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, not to get all political, but I think that one of the things perhaps that we discovered about ourselves as a nation during this political time is that regardless of what you believe or who you want to be president, there is a way to make common your interests in a very functional way, in a way that lifts everybody up. And talking about animal welfare issues, talking about the very hard realities of what's going on with our animals is going to be one of the best ways to, exactly like you say, to generate solutions. And I think it's got to happen. We have people, just this week I got a call from one of our great supporters who had this idea that you could go to the satellite clinic or the shelter clinic and buy a spay-neuter. Not for somebody, not for a particular person, but just to stick in the kitty so if somebody walks in and they can't do it, there's something that some person at some other time has set aside to do that. And this is a great idea. So we're working on putting this plan together and we'll have this going. And it's money, it's support, it's time, it's ideas, it's everything that you can do to really carry one another along.
Now, there's another problem that can arise in terms of animals from economic recession is that people get pets and they don't bring them in to get their shots. Is there, for example, a parvo problem right now?
Parvo is typically confined to larger populations. So parvo is something we always watch out. That's not entirely true. There's about a jillion exceptions to that. But parvo is something that we worry about in the shelter because there are a lot of animals and there's a lot of crossover and them touching one another. And it's typically confined to puppies. But that's the point that you're making, I think, is a really good point. What do you do when you do encounter these the realities of something like that is very expensive? And again, that gets us right back to the point that there are not a set of easy answers. I know somebody who has a credit card that they got and they've never used it. It just sits in a drawer, and that's the pet credit card. And if there are emergencies that they can't cover, then they run themselves into debt with that card. But that's how you keep everybody rolling along. There's always going to be instances of something going around, like there are with preschoolers. You'll have a lot of kennel cough going around if you don't get it done. Or if you don't take certain preventative measures, are there greater chances of your animal getting sick? Yeah, probably. But as always, there are basic things you can do. A higher quality food, even the food that you're providing your animals is a pretty high quality food compared
to
a lot of dog
food. It's super cheap, too. It lasts
it's
weeks.
Super cheap.
And it's, I think, $7 last me several weeks.
Just like with us, the healthier you eat, the less likely you are to get sick. It's kind of a no-brainer. So you can go cheap on cheap food, and it's almost guaranteed to depress your animal's immune system, make them a little more susceptible to disease and general malaise like we get when you sit and eat Big Macs for a week. So finding ways to do it on the front end can save you big bucks on the back end.
Anything else that we want to cover, Bill Hutchison, before we leave today?
Right now one of the things that is not surprising anymore is the ongoing influx of cats. A couple of years ago, we started getting cats in through the winter months, through the colder months, the way we do through the warmer months. And nobody's really sure what's causing this. It's really happening nationwide. So if you have been thinking about bringing a cat into your home, do it now. This is a really good time to do it. Shelters are full, donations are down, and anything that you can do to help out is a great idea.
And I think it's also really important to emphasize that people really should get their animals from a reputable, Santa Fe Animal Shelter or Española Animal or Felines
and
Friends
or
Small Dog.
To our president-elect, who has announced that he'll be getting the dog that he promised his daughters from an animal shelter.
They're getting a White House puppy.
Absolutely, and they're going to get it from a
rescue group. I bet it's going to be black and white.
I don't even know what to say to that, Mary Charlotte. I guess this is the end of the animal segment for all time. We're clearly going to be fined right off the air now. Decency and morals. We're done.
What'd I do?
It's all right.
Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and the telephone number over there is
983-4309. You can see all of our adoptable animals on our website at www.sfhumanesociety.org, as well as news and what's going on. I think we'll be at Smith's on Saturday for an adoption event, so please stop by.
Really? You're going to have which Smith's?
The one over by, the one on Cerrillos near, what is it, St. Mike's?
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
We'll and so you're going to have like cute
some of our adoptable critters there, hoping to find homes.
And puppies and
absolutely.
All that.
Absolutely. If you need your cute overload, you know where to go.
Hey, have you seen cuteoverload.com?
I have, indeed. There's been a lot of vomiting watching that. It's nauseatingly saccharine sweet.
No, it's just cuteness in the fullness of its expression.
Yeah.
I've never thrown
horrifying.
Up while looking at it. They have like the 12 rules of cuteness and things like that.
Yeah, see, it goes terribly, terribly awry. This is what leads people in to adopt a puppy that will then eat $400 of Bruno Mollies, and you think to yourself, my God, what
Bruno
have I brought
what?
Into my house? Is that a shoe brand?
I
make it sound
know.
Like I know fashionable
things. See, those
things,
are the things that you
really.
Can. I never even heard of Prada till last year. But those are the things that you can eliminate before you eliminate your pet.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't have things you like when you have a puppy.
Bill Hutchison, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a little break right now. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Chrissy Orr. She is an artist, and she will be speaking on Monday at Tipton Hall as part of the Santa Fe Art Institute's lecture series at 6 o'clock in the evening in a lecture titled Al Otro Lado. To the other side.
That's right, it's called To the Other Side, and basically I'm going to be presenting some of the work that I have been doing here in Santa Fe for the past year, and focusing on El Otro Lado. I'm an artist that has really, for the past 30 years, been working outside of the gallery studio scenario, so really I'm probably what is called as a community artist. I love to work in community, developing work that is relevant to the participants. So for the last year, I've been working on issues of migration and how that is affecting Santa Fe and the demographics of Santa Fe.
And so you have been working with immigrants mostly from Latin America?
Actually, from all over. I mean, I have my own immigrant story. I'm, from Scotland. I moved here 22 years ago, and I call myself the foreigner by choice. I mean, I had the choice to come here. But I've been working with people from all over, mainly, though, from South and Central America and Mexico. I mean, as you well know, we are only 5 hours from one of the biggest borders in the world. So we have a growing population here in Santa Fe that are really living, I feel, in the shadows here. And I just want to illuminate their stories. That is what the project has been about.
So how have you met people and gotten them involved in the artworks that you're doing? What are they like?
I have worked. We started working, actually, at Charter School 37. So I've worked with a lot of youth.
Which is
there.
A school that's based on outdoor education and bilingual education, and about, I think, half the students there are native Spanish speakers.
That's right. So a big population there of Mexican, South American, but also youth from here that speak Spanish. And then I have worked with a women's group that was formed really through the Adelante program, which is a program that works with homeless families through the Santa Fe Public Schools. And then just with individuals that I have met and have become really interested in the project.
Do you speak Spanish?
I speak a little Spanish. In fact, one of my goals this year, I've been taking Spanish lessons. So that was part of this project, was for me to learn Spanish and speak it. So
there's some very beautiful work. Unfortunately, the exhibition is closed now. The closing reception was over the weekend at the Santa Fe Art Institute. But there's a wonderful work in which you I have, you can see the journals that people have written, and you can see the hands, some of them very young hands and some of them old and middle-aged hands who are the writers of these journals.
That's right. The project, really, what I have been doing is inviting people to keep journals of their stories through either written stories or visual stories. And so people have done that, and then when they are ready to share those with me, I go in and take photographs and then make collaged, ensembled works out of that, and also take photographs of these people's hands. I wanted really to have something of this person along with their writing and their visuals, and a lot of people want to remain anonymous through this project. So I thought the hand was the perfect way to go. And of course, as they're writing and drawing, I have been taking photographs of the hands that way. Or holding something that they felt very important to them. Maybe something that they brought with them. You know, some of us can move to another country taking a lot of our belongings with us. Other people can't. Other people have to walk or are moved very quickly and leave a lot of belongings behind.
What are some of the interesting stories that have come out of these journals? Are there any that you feel like you can tell us?
Oh, there's some incredible stories. Along with, actually, the journals and the visuals, we have an audio part of this. So each person we have recorded. Pablo Ancona has been working with me. And so you can access these stories, actually, via the cell phone. Yes, via the cell phone. You can access
each person's
story. It is, the number is 575-208-7268.
575 being the new New Mexico area code.
That's right.
And then say the number again.
575-208-7068. And then you punch in a number. And at the moment, there's imagery out in the Santa Fe public buses. So along with that, you see this number and the prompt number that you punch in to get that person's story that goes along with the visuals. But there's been incredible stories.
And the visuals show up on your cell phone?
No, the visuals show up. The visuals are on the buses. Sorry.
Okay. So anyway, so was there an opportunity for people to share their stories with each other? I would think that would be part of the whole deal.
Yes, it is. And we have done that in workshop situations, either at the school, the Santa Fe Art Institute. The Academy for Love of Learning has also been a partner in this project, and we have held some workshops over there where we have brought people together. And all these images will be part of a big public art installation that will happen next May all around town. And as part of that, we will be bringing people together to tell their stories and invite the public to hear them.
Chrissy Orr is an artist who will be speaking on Monday, this coming Monday, at Tipton Hall at 6 o'clock, and that's on the College of Santa Fe campus, and it's sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute. For more information, the Santa Fe Art Institute number is 424-5050, and they can be seen on the web at sfai.org. Chrissy Orr, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte. Bye.
We're going to take a quick break right now, and Robert Knott is on deck. Stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Well, we're in November. We have a new president.
It got cold this week.
It got very cold this week.
But it got warm in our hearts.
For many of us, it did get warm in our hearts. Yeah. I'm very happy.
I'm very happy, too.
I'm glad. That makes two of us. I wonder if anybody else agrees.
All three dogs voted for Dogmocracy. I'll tell you that right now.
Ooh, that's very good. That's right. Mel, Connie, and Millie.
Horatio.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Katie Lang's coming to town. You going to go see
her?
Really? She's
sure.
Going to be at the Lensic at 7:30 on Sunday night.
This coming Sunday?
You got it.
How did I not know that?
Well, I don't know, but she's here at 7:30. I hear through the grapevine that it's almost sold out, but you still have a shot, maybe. Call the Lensic, 988-1234. She was here 5 years ago at the Santa Fe Opera. Also, a totally different side of the gamut. Is gamut the right word? Or gamut?
Like G-A-M-U-T, gamut. Although I'm not sure you'd say the other side of the gamut, but anyway, go ahead.
Why not? Can you run the gamut?
You can run the gamut. What's a gamut?
The gamut is like, I don't know, there's some song called Gamut, Janet, or something from Rocky Horror. A gamut is like a range, I know that much. So if you can run the range, then you can go to the other side of it. So the other side of the range from Katie Lang is, get this, the 999 Eyes Troupe. It's there's no other way to put it. It's a freak show. They're coming to town. The Lobster Girl, the Human Tripod, the Elephant Man, Lady Diabla who swallows swords, and others. They will be at Warehouse 21 tonight at 9:30 p.m. Call 989-4423. Craig Smith wrote a little mixed media about it in today's Pasta Tempo, page 13. And if you like that sort of thing, go see them. They're going to be entertaining you and be edgy and different and fun. Somebody has a accordion. Somebody has a tuba. There's musicians. And the Lobster Girl, huh?
Hey, check this out.
What?
Gamut. Definition. The full range or compass of recognized musical notes, by extension the compass of an instrument or voice. And the etymology is the medieval Latin gamma plus ut, which means lowest note.
So how did ut get into mutt?
It's a totally different situation.
Because I love mutts. I don't like the purebreds because they always seem sort of like they're on the high fluting side of town.
Are you insulting my dogs?
That rich guy you've been seeing must have put you down. So welcome back, baby, to the poor side of town. Artist Gone Berserk, second annual pre-holiday studio tour. November 8th and 9th, 10 to 4 on Saturday and 11 to 3 on Sunday. It's going to be a number of artists: Elijah Schmidt, Joan Helden, Joy Campbell, Catherine Moland, McCreary Jordan, Barbara Ingram, Gail Bueno, B-U-O-N-O, maybe it's Bono. It's sort of a studio tour of sorts. You can get a map at Artisans, Valdez Art Supply. The best thing to do, I suspect, is to check out Darlene McElroy, who's in the show, .com. She has a map. And that's something to do as we get into the studio tour season. There's also the 16th annual book sale at the Laboratory of Anthropology Library. It's actually going to be at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, Laboratory of Anthropology. So if you like books, go there. It's 10 to 4, and it's free. And you're going to say to me, when is it, Robert? Saturday and Sunday, free, 10 to 4. Museum of Indian Arts and Culture up there in Camino Lejo. And this is a good time to go to your museums, by the way. And once again, if I'm a New Mexican resident, I'm pretty darn sure that Sunday admission to the museums is free.
Free, free, free.
You just have to bring some ID.
Hey, come meet over 80 dogs and cats hoping for a home this season. Tomorrow, Saturday, November 8th, from 10 to 3, Felines and Friends and Espanola Valley Humane Society will be having an adoption fair at Petco on Cerrillos Road. And both organizations are also in need of food, donations, cat litter, volunteers. To help, you can leave a message at 316-2281. Or send an email to askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com.
Puppies who need people are the loveliest puppies in the world. I still have the sniffles. I apologize. That's why my voice sounds odd. Just bear with it. I don't feel sick. I just have sniffles. Here we go. Tonight, First Friday Art Walk. Where? West Palace Arts District, downtown. It's cold. We're not quite putting up the Christmas lights yet, thank goodness, I hope. But you can walk on down to some of these galleries along Palace Avenue. Patina, Charlotte Jackson, Peterson Cody, Manitou, Chuck Jones, Wadle, W-A-D-L-E, and, of course, Lou Allen Contemporary. And they're all basically all having their little receptions tonight from 5 to 7:30 p.m. It's a good time to go down there, and you'll be by the Museum of Fine Arts, by the way. You'll be by the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, by the way, which still has Georgia O'Keeffe in the camera, The Art of Identity. It's running through February of next year. And I'm pretty sure they have Friday night free admission as well. And if I ever get this stuff wrong, people call me up and tell me. But I think I'm pretty right about this stuff. What else is happening? Well, you got Cinderella at SFPA. It's a children's version.
What's SFPA?
Santa Fe Performing Arts. Thank you. 1050 Old Santa Fe Trail in the Armory for the Arts Theater. Megan Burns is directing.
You big acronym head.
What kind of head?
Acronym.
I haven't had acronyms SFPA. Since I was a teenager. I used some clearance stuff on my skin, and my acronym got cleaned right up. Don't tell me I'm an acronym guy. Hated that when I was a teenager. My sister used to always pop my blackheads. It was horrible. Anyway, so what were we talking about? Oh, SFPA, Santa Fe Performing Arts. Megan Burns has got these little kids, and they're doing a really fun job of Cinderella, which is the story about a little girl who she lives in a place with her three stepsisters, and they you know, tell her to clean the house and tar the driveway, fix the TV antenna. And then they leave her there. She's the most beautiful one. She's like Hedy Lamarr. They all look sort of like Marjorie Maine. And then some guy comes along. He's a prince, so he claims. He invites them all to a ball. A strange thing happens. Like there's a fairy godmother, which has never happened to me.
Are you sure?
Well, I never met her anyway. She may have come at night when I wasn't there or something. But anyway, she probably went to the wrong house, like that story about the two twins that got mixed up. Anyway, so the fairy godmother turns her into a pumpkin. Fortunately, the guy's a vegetarian, so he loves that. And then at midnight, there's a curfew, and the police come in. They raid the whole place. And then it turns out that the prince really likes Cinderella, and she tried to give him the slip. It's pretty funny. That's a Freudian slip. Anyway, they get together. I told the whole story. I apologize. But if you like Cinderella, it's really good to go see the show. Megan Burns is directing it this weekend, SFPA.
You want to hear a fun fact about Cinderella and the glass slipper?
I'd love to hear a fun fact. Speak, oh, soothsayer.
So the reason it's a glass slipper is because in French, glass is verre. And there's another word, a homonym, verre, which means squirrel skin. And so originally in the story, the slippers were made of squirrel skin, which was V-A-I-R, and it was just mistranscribed as V-E-R-R-E. So it went from being leather to glass. So the glass slipper is just completely random mistranslation or mistransliteration.
Well, that fits, because Cinderella always struck me as kind of a squirrely story. I wonder if they did the same thing with Underbear.
All right, so tomorrow, Saturday, November 8th, from 4 to 5 at Garcia Street Books, there's a book signing and discussion about a book called La Clinica, A Doctor's Journey Across Borders by David Sklar, who will be there. And in 1972, David Sklar left his senior year of college to volunteer at a community clinic in rural Mexico. He had no medical experience, except he'd gotten into medical school, but he hadn't actually started studying yet. He learned medicine by practicing it, and he did all sorts of stuff in Mexico, and he's written a book about it. He's now the Associate Dean of Graduate Medical Education at the University of New Mexico, and a distinguished doctor, and has written this book. And I was supposed to get him on the air this week and did not manage to do so. We will be talking to him probably in December, but it's a terrific book and really worth going and meeting him and hearing about this book, La Clinica. So that's tomorrow from 4 to 5 at Garcia Street Books here in Santa Fe on, you guessed it, Garcia Street.
Meanwhile, over at Collected Works on San Francisco Street, Lawrence Gonzalez pops up tomorrow at 4 p.m. to talk about everyday survival, why smart people do stupid things. Apparently, this book was written specifically for me.
You consider yourself a smart person?
Oh. Oh, that's it. I walked into that one, ladies and gentlemen.
You so walked into that one.
As soon as we go off the air, I'm taking you outside for a good beating.
What are you taking me outside for?
This throws me. See, after all these years, I can't even come on here and be prescient all the time without having some.
What do you mean prescient? What do
like
you
here, like in the moment, you know?
That you mean present?
No, I'm talking about the prescient tense, and every time I'm around you, I get tense. Lawrence Gonzalez, Everyday Survival, Why Smart People Do Stupid Things, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Collected Works Bookstore, 208B, West San Francisco Street. Check it out.
And Collected Works is a terrific bookstore, as is Garcia Street Books.
Nice.
And they both have incredible series of readings and author visits and all kinds of good things.
Locally owned and great.
Locally owned. Yeah, I mean, I was telling somebody from Los Angeles the other day that we have two full-on, at least two more actually, but Garcia and Collected Works, locally owned independent bookstores that are doing all these amazing things. And there are cities 5 and 10 times our size that don't have that anymore.
Right. It's terrific. Santa Fe's terrific. Wilson Hurley, New Mexican artist, passed away earlier this year. A retrospective of his work is going to be at Niedra Matucci Galleries. Really nice story by our visual arts writer, Doug Fairfield, in today's Pasatiempo. It opens Friday, November 7th, which, by the way, is today. Reception 2 to 4 tomorrow. Receptions tomorrow, the 8th. Nedra Matucci likes these Saturday afternoon receptions. I also like them because, first of all, it's the afternoon. Second of all, you get out of there at 4 o'clock, particularly on a winter night, and you want to go have a glass of wine somewhere, and that's great for me. There should be a bar in that neighborhood. That's the only problem. Maybe they can build one. Anyway.
Hey, have you heard about Jennifer Esperanza's book?
I was out of town. I was on vacation, as you know. But right before I went on vacation, I saw Jennifer. Or actually, I saw her at the laundromat. I know you think I'm making this up because I'm always at the laundromat. But clothes need to be clean, and I've always done a good job of cleaning clothes, particularly since I only own two sets. So I ran into her, and she said, Tears of Venus, book signing. Tell me more.
It's at the ARC bookstore, on Sunday from 3 to 5.
Go. She's a terrific photographer.
She's
a
great
nice
photographer
lady.
And a wonderful
website.
Person.
Terrific website. And, yeah, so say it one more time. 3 to 5 tomorrow?
Yep. Sunday. Sunday, this coming Sunday, Tears of Venus. And the subtitle is, It's All the Goddess to Me.
Oh, that's good. She's very much pro-feminine, and it's very nice because she herself is feminine, and that helps. Well, I guess if you're a woman and you're feminine.
You're digging a hole right now, and you haven't even started yet. Go ahead, dig that hole.
I think I'll throw out a shovel away and get out of this thing while I can. Meanwhile,
go ahead, dig it.
No, I don't want to do that. You'll dig a hole enough for me and probably throw the rest of the stuff in.
No,
the top
I don't do
it.
Anything. I just let you do it.
That's what
so
your dogs say when you come home.
So
and the slippers,
fun.
The glass slippers are chewed up, and the dogs are like, "We didn't do it." The problem with having more than one dog is you can't figure out who the guilty party is.
Oh, I can.
Really?
Yeah, because I know which house. One does which things. Horatio gets into the bathroom garbage.
Horatio, bad.
But
boy.
Never the kitchen garbage.
Tonight is New Mexican. That's very odd.
That was too much information.
No,
sorry.
That was strange. New Mexico Youth Unite Poetry Showcase. The Santa Fe Indian School spoken word team is going to get together for readings of young poets at 7 o'clock. Warehouse 21, that's before the 999 eyes come in at 9:30. Theater-wise, I'm going to mispronounce this. Yastros, the American Flamenco Rep Company. Y-J-A-S-T-R-O-S, Yastros. See? 7 o'clock tonight, the Lodge at Santa Fe for Flamenco. 750 North St. Francis Drive. Got to pay to get in. Call the Lensic, 988-1234. Theater-wise, The Unexpected Man, which is Yasmina Reza's play about two strangers in a train compartment. You interviewed them earlier this week. Came off
that. Now, that looks like a really good play. I saw the rehearsal, so I saw about half of it, and it is a very sort of heady, I guess, in some ways intellectual, but very reflective play. I'm going to go actually see it.
Oh, good.
Usually
yeah.
When I go to the rehearsals, I don't actually go to the productions.
You don't.
But I should, but anyway. But, you know, when you see the whole rehearsal, you've basically seen the play,
I know.
Even though
so
not
then
in
you're
its
like,
full
why
glory.
Why should I go back a second? It's like seeing a screener of a movie at the film festival a week
exactly.
Before it happens. Then they wonder why you don't come to the screen to see it.
Now, speaking of films that you should see on the big screen, The Pool, Chris Smith's new film, is opening at the Center for Contemporary Arts.
Correct.
And that is a terrific film. And we talked about it a couple of days ago here on the Radio Cafe. And one of the things that's so interesting about it is that there are no close-ups on the faces of the people. The people exist within their environment, which is a very large environment, and that's one of the reasons that you really need to see it on a big screen.
Wait a minute. What do you mean they exist? I exist in my environment. What's
the
deal
there? I know,
but
in other words, as when you are filming people, you have a lot of choices, whether you have a close-up on, you know, your nose hair, or when you have the whole person existing within, you know, on the mountain that he is climbing, or whatever. And this is the person in a bigger context, and it was shot on 35mm film, which nothing is anymore.
Very, so little, I know.
Very rarely, especially independent films. And it is a brilliant film. It's so good. And so I'm going to go see that on the big screen. What am I going to do this weekend?
Excellent. Robert Benziger gave it a pretty good review in today's Pasta Tempo. He saw it.
Pretty
I have not
good?
Yet. Yeah, he says it's a very
more,
good picture.
It's more than pretty good. Well, anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Hollywood meets the Sioux Nation, addressing the historic American West. If you're ever interested in how people in Western movies get dressed,
yes.
Kathy Smith, costume designer, speaks tonight at 6 o'clock at the St. Francis Auditorium, New Mexico Museum of Art, in a free lecture, 6 o'clock, phone number 476-5072. As part of the fashion and film exhibit that's over there at the New Mexico Museum of Art. I haven't been there yet, but it's about period clothes in Hollywood movies, and Kathy Smith, costume designer, will speak tonight specifically about the American Western, Hollywood meets the Sioux Nation. Meanwhile, Scottish Country Dance tonight, 7:30 to 10:30 at Oddfellows Hall.
Cool.
If you want to put on your kilt and do some...
Do you have a kilt?
No. No, I don't. But I wonder if they do that song,
I used to have a kilt.
I'll take the high road and I'll take the low road. I'll be in Scotland for ya. 983-4002. You got to pay to get in. What time is it?
8:47.
Okay. I mentioned Artists Gone Berserk before. I didn't have all the information in front of me. 16 studios, 24 artists involved. That's tomorrow. Go see it. There's also the El Dorado Fall Arts and Crafts Show, 10 to 5, at the El Dorado Elementary School out in El Dorado. There's also the Santa Fe Annual Art Auction at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. That's tomorrow. Preview 9 to 1, auction 1:30 to 5:30. There's a tribute to Billy Joel called Piano Man, 8 o'clock Saturday night. Silver Starlight Lounge, Rainbow Vision Santa Fe, wonderful little bar and cabaret area, 500 Rodeo Road. Jennifer and Bruce Hammond team up to sing the songs of Billy Joel with Elliot Fisher, a guy I like very much, playing on the piano. Meanwhile, Way Over the Rainbow is a musical event playing at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the United Church of Santa Fe in Arroyo Chamizo. That's pianist Michael Hall performing classical music and soft jazz versions of pop music hits. Nobody should sing Over the Rainbow except Judy Garland, don't you agree?
I agree. I don't think you should sing it right now.
That's one song I never sang.
Really?
I think
you should sing it.
I'm not.
The Serenata of Santa Fe presents chamber music entitled The Legendary Masterworks on Sunday, November 9th at 3 o'clock at the Santuario de Guadalupe on Guadalupe Street in Santa Fe, featuring music of Dvorak, Strauss, Mozart, and guest artists Hidetaro Suzuki and many others. Zeta Ruga Suzuki on violin and other artists. And tickets are available at the door. For more information, 989-7988.
What time did you say it was?
8:49.
Oh, good.
That's not what I said, but it wasn't 8:49 then.
Meow Wolf concert.
Yay.
Including, of all people, Aunt Dracula. 7 o'clock Sunday, Meow Wolf, 1800 2nd Street. The Unit Breed.
They had a great Halloween bash.
And they're in their new spaces, right? 1800 2nd Street?
Yeah.
Check out myspace.com, Meow Wolf. They're having a concert Saturday night for probably mostly for young people, but everyone should go. Do you remember that Dracula?
What do you mean mostly for young people? It's for anybody. What's young? You're as young as you feel.
That's why I'm trying to get you to feel me more often, find out how old I am. Serenade of Santa Fe is Sunday. Chamber music of Mozart, Strauss, and that guy Dvorak, whose name I can never pronounce.
Dvorak.
Huh?
Dvorak.
Well, as long as you know the music. 3 o'clock at the Santuario de Guadalupe on 100 South Guadalupe Street. You got to pay to get in. 989-7988. And that's the same day that the Sangre de Cristo Chorale celebrates their 31st season with songs from the land of enchantment, music of New Mexico composers. In particular, tribute to the late storyteller and linguist Esther Martinez, 2:30 p.m. Sunday. Santa Maria de la Paz Catholic Community, which is at 11 College Avenue. Students get in for free, otherwise you got to pay. Craig Smith wrote about it in his Critical Ear column. Take a look.
Hey, there is on Wednesday of next week, the 12th, a reading by poet and writer in residence, Stephen Tapscott, at 6 o'clock at the Collected Works Bookstore. And that's also a Santa Fe Art Institute sponsored event. And I'm going to have Stephen Tapscott on the air.
And the other SFAI thing that you had earlier was Chris Yore,
Chris
right?
Yore, and that's on Monday.
What time?
6 o'clock. Their lectures are always at 6 o'clock at Tipton Hall, apparently.
And are they free?
They are. I don't think so, but they're super cheap.
Okay, that's good. The Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian has a lecture Monday night. People seem to like to go to lectures, especially when they're at night. The joke's on me. The lecture's at 3:30, so you got to show up early. Set your clocks to make sure. Nacimientos in Nuevo México, Native Nativity sets, and their history. That sounds really interesting.
Native Nativity.
Correct. Susan Weber's lecture. 3 o'clock, there's going to be refreshments. At 3:30, she will speak at the Mary Cabot Wheelwright Library at the Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian, which is on Camino Lejo, up on Museum Hill. Not too expensive to get in. Here's a phone number, 982-4636. I take most of these events out of the Pasatiempo calendar, put together by Rob DeWalt and Pam Beach. Do our best to cover everything. Take a look at it today if you pick up the Pasatiempo. Meanwhile, this is another interesting lecture. I'm sorry, but it seems to be time for the lecture, probably because it's cold out and people want to go in. So, and it's good to go in somewhere where someone's talking and you can learn something. I'll have to do that one of these days.
Learn something?
That's it. That's twice in one show. Twice. This is like a throwback to 2004. Okay, the School for Advanced Research Public Lecture Series has The Flickering Lamp, World War II in Santa Fe and the Philippines. Historian Nancy Bartlett speaking at 3 p.m. at Tuesday. School for Advanced Research Boardroom, which is on Garcia Street, 660 Garcia Street to be specific, free. Phone number, here it comes, 954-7203. Meanwhile, the history of the New Deal is yet another lecture by Kathy Flynn, who I adore.
Kathy Flynn is great.
At noon, Wednesday. It's a lunchtime. You bring your own brown bag. If you don't want to bring lunch, just go and suffer through the hunger pains while you're listening to the New Deal. Those people were hungry. in the Fray Angelico Chavez History Library, 120 Washington Avenue. It's free.
And that's a nice space, too. Have you ever been in
Yes,
there?
I've gone to some of those lunchtime lectures, and I love them. That's Wednesday, lunchtime, noon. Kathy Flynn, The New Deal. And that's the same day that Tony O'Brien, the photojournalist author who we are writing about, I think, in next week's Passa Tiempo, discusses Afghan Dreams, Young Voices of Afghanistan, 6 o'clock, Tipton Hall, College of Santa Fe. That is, I think, free. Ton of lectures. It's really that time of year.
Kim Rosen is teaching a course and in November at the Ghost Ranch here in Santa Fe. And it's called Poetry as Passion, Prayer, and Spiritual Practice. There's a, you can go to wisdomuniversity.org to find out more. And it's at the Ghost Ranch Retreat Center on Old Taos Highway in Santa Fe. And I'm looking for a number. The number is, it's toll free, 888-837-8580.
Now, let's say it's Thursday night and you're ready to start the weekend early. It's a tough thing to think about since it's Friday morning and you're probably wishing you hadn't started celebrating last night. Anyway, next Thursday.
Is that true of you right now?
My Thursday nights are always full of disrepair, usually more alcohol intake than I prefer to acknowledge, and frankly, usually documentaries about Sasquatch. Anyway, Thursday night, Irving Berlin's I Love a Piano comes to the Lenzic. The Santa Fe Concert Association presents Ray Roderick and Michael Berkeley's
You know who you are?
I'm Robert Dodd. I've been on your show
Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite.
I just rewatched that movie the other night.
That's Bill Hutchinson.
And he talked about Sasquatch.
Doesn't he look like Bill Hutchinson now?
Yeah, but he acts like you.
Okay, so it's a combination of Bill Hutchinson and me. All right, so who's cuter, me or Bill?
I'm not saying. There's no contest.
Yes, there is. It's like your dogs. You pretend you don't have one that you like.
I love them all the same.
Yeah, and then later we hear one shows up at the bark and ball with you.
I know, but that's because he's more well-behaved. That's why he got on top of the table at the bark and ball and drank out of the drinking water pitcher.
Well-behaved. If I pulled that, I'd be thrown off your show. Where was I? Oh, Irving Berlin.
You can drink out of the water pitcher.
Irving Berlin's I Love a Piano. I Love a Piano, grand piano. I love to hear that baby swing. 7:30 Thursday at the Lenzic, 988-1234. That's the same night you can go get ballroom and Latin dancing lessons over at the dance station.
Yay.
901 West Alameda Street, Solana Center. You got to pay 989-9788. 7:30 p.m., lessons actually followed by dancing, which is good because if you're going to learn how to dance, then you should go out and dance.
Hey, Man on Wire is still at the CCA. My favorite documentary of the one of my two or three favorite documentaries of the year.
That's right, the guy that walked over to World Trade Center.
He strung a wire between the two towers of the World Trade Center in the early 70s and tightrope walked it.
That's pretty good.
For 45 minutes.
I can't even walk the straight line out there on the street at 2 o'clock in the morning when the police asked me to.
And then there's a film called I Served the King of England. Do you know anything about that?
I do. I do know quite a bit about it.
And?
Oh, you want me to speak about it now? It's a great foreign picture. It's about a guy that sort of sells himself sexually and politically to survive in the lessons he goes through. And if I'm not mistaken, it's playing at the CCA, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they have another great movie there. because The Screen is actually opening that play this weekend. We didn't get to finish out Unexpected Man's
Unexpected Man, right.
At The Screen. Ah. So that's tonight. So CCA has all the movies, it seems, and that is still a very good movie playing over there. Both those art house cinemas bring in really good stuff, and they overlap them nicely.
They do indeed. And the film Trouble the Water, did you see or hear about that?
I did not see that, and I was...
It is still screening at The Screen on the campus of the College of Santa Fe, and that's another terrific documentary. And it's running today and tomorrow at 1:50 and 1:30 in the afternoon, and then Sunday at 6 o'clock. There's all different screen times, so you have to go to thescreen.csf.edu or just Google it to find the show times, or look in the Passa Tiempo. But that's a terrific film. And then what's great about The Unexpected Man being performed at The Screen is that there's all that huge amount of space between the front row and the front of the room. And so there's enough room for a play, a small play.
I haven't seen it there, anything like that yet, but I think you're probably right. Brent's trying to do different things with that.
He's a great curator. We need to really talk about The Screen's films more. Because
you should have him on sometime.
I know. Well, and
you should have
and
Jason
his filmmakers
on from CCA.
It'd
be interesting to talk to them about trying to get this stuff.
Not to mention the Santa Fe Film Center, which used to be the Cinema Cafe, and you can watch movies on couches.
The big festival.
I know.
Film festival in 1 month.
And I always devote a whole week to nothing but the Santa Fe Film Festival. And I'm going to do that again this year.
Oh, boy.
It's so much fun.
If you want to write a cowboy song that defines who New Mexico is, state competition. You got the next Friday to do it. Contact
Excellent.
New Mexico Music Commission.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. Robert Knott is with us here just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, he's the associate editor of the Paso Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and we love him just the way he is.
Mary Charlotte, are you thinking about me?
Yes.
Mary Charlotte, will you still be there? Remember that song by Bobby Sherman about you?
No.
Oh, come on, it's from the 70s. Everybody knows that.
I wasn't listening to Bobby Sherman in the 70s.
Night, baby makes me
KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's Dot Foil Computer Services. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta.
You don't remember that song? Mary Charlotte, will you still be there?
How did Bobby Sherman even know who I was?
So much fun. Together. He knew you were. Actually, it was called Julie, 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 but I changed it to Mary Charlotte.
Ah, okay.
Julie, 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 do you love me? That was a great song. What time is it?
It is 8:59. We have another minute.
Am I going to see you later for lunch?
I don't know.
Well, I heard something. Now here we go.
I neither confirm nor
That's
deny.
That's right. The ramifications of the intensity of the electrocution there is going to be too much for the
electrocution?
Sand grants to accept.
What are you talking about? Nobody's going to get electrocuted today. Here or anywhere else.
So much fun together.
Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company.
You'd always be mine.
How are your dogs?
My doggies are good. They like the weather. They're all frisky and want to play and run. I like when they throw the frisbee to me and I go catch it.
We'll see you at the dog park. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Be happy, be peaceful, and wear your seatbelt.
Do the chow.
Ready?
Yeah.
Chow.
Oh, baby.